This portion of Texans Extra Points is brought to you by Reliant Energy, a NRG company.
I'm looking forward to Christmas. I'm a big fan.
Just call him Jolly Old Saint Nick. That's head coach Bill O'Brien talking about Christmas. We hope you had a great Christmas. Hope you guys had a great Christmas, too. Did you guys get everything you wanted under the Christmas tree?
Well, happy Boxing Day.
Happy Boxing Day.
Boxing Day will be the end. We'll determine that,
Santa was very generous.
Good. That's good to hear. Chris Myers, DP Sidhu, back here. You know, the Titans await the Houston Texans, and so does Zach Mettenberger. Young Zachary, he's had a tough go of it against the Texans in the first three times they've played. I think he's been sacked about 48 times,
that's it.
46 of them from J.J. Watt. But what have you seen growth-wise out of Mettenberger from the first time we saw him till, you know, last week?
Yeah, you know, this is his third start against the Texans, and he's not really had that many starts in his short career as it is. So I think when I spoke with Jim White earlier in the week, he works with the Titans, he writes for them, he said that really emotionally Zach Mettenberger has matured a lot. He sort of understands the game, and that means his role both on and off the field. You know, we remember selfies and all that. He's sort of calmed down from that, and I think it's really valuable the fact that he's played the Texans so many times. This is a team where he can see himself on film and evaluate himself, because this is a team he's faced more than any other team in the league. But you're right, the Texans sacked Zach, not 48, but 7 times. The last time these two faced each other. So if he knows what to expect, it's also going to be a lot of pressure on him. So we'll see how that goes on Sunday.
Interesting point she makes about the experience versus the Texans. What do you make of that?
No, piggybacking right off of that, from the people that I've talked to too, he's definitely matured in terms of his progression with the Titans. But I think in general, him facing the Texans this many times in his short career of starts, I think it's his 9th total start, and he's basically faced the Texans half the time. He's very familiar with the Texans and what they can bring. But they've caused him nothing but issues. And until he can figure that out and prove it otherwise, which hopefully is not going to happen, I just think that it's going to be in the back of his mind. And he knows guys like a J.J. Watt are always sitting there in the wings. And I know J.J.'s kind of hampered by his little hand issue right now. But J.J. with a hand issue is still better than usual defensive ends in a 3-4 defense anyway. So I think that he understands what he's got to go up against.
You know, he brings up the hand. And while he's not been in the stat sheet like he normally is, he's still having to slalom through at least 2 or 3 blocks. And have you ever seen as many neck blocks? We were talking about this, the choke block that J.J. Watt is getting. I mean, it seems like every other time you look up, he's got an arm around his neck.
He does, because he throws that rip in there. And when he throws that rip in there, and he's doing the rip a lot more often now because he can't use his hands and grab as much anymore. So he's throwing that rip, and that causes the guys to kind of loop around him. And the ref's not watching, they're going to get away with that, because that's typically a holding call. But, you know, us offensive linemen like to get away with stuff when we can't.
You said it, not me. All right, let's flip sides. The Titans defense, a lot saltier than you would believe if you look at the overall record of that team. They're a threat. I mean, that front seven can do some things, can't they, DP?
You know, the Texans, when you rank them in the league, sacks per pass attempt, they rank 4th in the league. And do you know where the Titans rank? They rank 3rd. So it's a very underappreciated aspect of the Titans' defense. And with Jarrell Casey and Brian Arakpo, they both have 7 sacks each on the season. The Texans' offensive line is going to have a challenge in front of them on Sunday as far as protecting Brian Wheaton. He's a young quarterback. They're going to have to give him a little bit of time, but at the same time, he may not get a lot of time. Yeah. And so that's going to really put a lot of pressure on Alfred Blue in the run game to get that going early on.
You know, it's a unit that's changed over the years, but it seems like they've always had that same mentality, doesn't it? That Titans defense and just being gritty up front.
They're a gritty group up front, and touching on Arakpo and Casey, I mean, to see Casey come in the league as a young player, as a defensive tackle, and then earn the respect of his teammates as a team captain now, a Pro Bowl type of player, and he's a grinder, and you're going to get your work cut out for you bring your lunch pail every single game. And Arakpo, a guy that was a phenomenal player in this league, all-pro type of player, and has having a second resurgence with the Titans right now. And that's just a testament to his work ethic and how he fits in that scheme.
Yeah, Dwayne, Newton, the rest of that bunch going to be tested tomorrow afternoon. All right, you know what else is kind of fun, kind of a test? When Bill O'Brien goes to the board and breaks down plays, and that's what he's doing right now with John Harris in this week's version of the Telestrator.
Welcome back to Texans Telestrator, presented by BMW. I'm John Harris alongside Houston Texans head coach Bill O'Brien. Great win on Sunday, coach. Congratulations.
Thank you, Johnny.
All right, all 3 phases came into play on Sunday. At the end of the ballgame in particular, special teams, kick coverage, coach, came up big. Let's take us through it.
Yeah, right here on our kickoff coverage, you know, I thought all day that they did a nice job of basically getting a good kick from Nick and then getting good coverage by the guys on the unit. And so what I'm going to do here is show you this from the end zone shot, fast forward a little bit. I think one of the things that we've done a decent job of lately is that we've mixed up the way that we're kicking the ball with our formations. We're rolling guys in. We're keeping guys stationary. We're kind of mixing it up, and I think that's good. That's good to keep it spinning in that way. And then the key here is Curtis Drummond. Curtis Drummond, all year since we brought him up from the practice squad, has done a really good job for us on special teams. There's a lot of guys. Brian Peters, Max Bulla had a really good game on special teams. But on this particular play, here's Max Bulla's former teammate at Michigan State, Curtis Drummond, doing a great job of splitting the double team. So right here, they're trying to double team him. He beats it with speed. He splits it, and then he's able to gather himself and make the tackle at the 15-yard line. That's a great play by Curtis Drummond. Means a lot to our team whenever we can make the other team's offense start at the 15, have to drive the ball along a long part of the field there. That's always good for our defense.
Although there were a couple of special teams hiccups, it came up big. Max Bulla, Curtis Drummond, something about Michigan State and special teams. I think those guys take a lot of pride in it. Coach, appreciate your time. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Johnny.
We'll be right back after this.